Our second case for this morning is United States v. Alvin Buckley. Ms. Varner.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Sarah Varner for Alvin Buckley. Mr. Buckley was sentenced after the Fair Sentencing Act was passed to a sentence which was based on the old mandatory minimum sentencing scheme. After Dorsey was decided in 2012, it became apparent that Mr. Buckley may have an avenue to make a claim for a lower sentence. Mr. Buckley filed a pro se motion asking the court for relief under the Fair Sentencing Act, but also referencing 3582. That motion was later amended, and the district court was asked to construe the motion not under 3582C2, but under 3582C1B or under 2255.
But when all is said and done, this was an 11C1C sentence, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
So we've held that those sentences, unless they really in some sense are keyed to the guidelines, like this sentence is going to be 10% below the guideline range or something like that, if it's just a point, which I gather this was, we say that's not a guideline sentence. It's an agreed sentence, a contractual sentence.
Correct, Your Honor. And I believe that that was what... It's a little bit unclear, and honestly, when I was thinking about what to say to the court, I find myself in a little bit uncharted waters because I feel like in this case, we have a case where we've asked the district court for a specific type of relief, and we got ruled on under a completely different, under this C2, which is, I think, what you're referencing.
Mm-hmm.
So in our response to the district court, we said, you know, well, here's the way you can look at it under C2 and how we can still, and in our brief to this court, how we could still get relief is that we can look at it by analogy to Freeman and say that the statutory sentence in this case became the guideline sentence, and it's clear that the plea agreement was negotiated in light of that statutory sentence, which is the guideline sentence, and that that allays the concerns of Justice Sotomayor in the Freeman opinion, and that that is a way in this case that we can get to relief under 3582C2.
So can you explain to me a little bit why you think there's such a big difference, why it was wrong to look at 3582C2 and why it would be so much better for your client if it were a C1 proceeding?
Your Honor, I think perhaps the best avenue for relief is under 2255, but we asked for the court to look at it under C1B, and we thought C2 might not be the best avenue because exactly what you're saying, that there is precedent from this court that says we're not, you know, a statutory sentence is not a guideline sentence. And I think that was in Poole and reaffirmed again maybe in Johnson. I don't know that it's been looked at specifically in regards to Dorsey, but, you know, we acknowledged up front, you know, this is what the client pro se asked for. This might not be the best avenue for relief for him. There was a district court case under C1B, if we were going to sort of try to keep the case under 3582, that was untested by this court, wherein the district court in the Southern District of Illinois, and this was not how the court case was ruled upon, but the court did say, you know, additionally, I feel like we could give relief under C1B because Dorsey was the Supreme Court's way of telling you, hey, we've looked now at the statute, and our indication is that Congress did clearly intend for relief to be given in these cases, so that that may fit under that expressly allowed by statute language. 2255 may be the best course of relief, but again, as I said, we're in a situation where it appears that the district court ruled upon it under C2, not saying that they didn't have jurisdiction or that he wasn't eligible, just that this binding plea was somehow preventing relief in his case.
Well, the plea actually refers to modifications of the sentence as well as other things, right?
I believe it was, I don't think 3582 was listed out in the waiver.
It says not to contest, or at least as I understand it, it says not to contest or seek to modify his sentence or the manner in which it was determined in any proceeding. So there's no explicit reference to 3582.
Right.
But seek to modify. What does that mean?
You know, and that may be something that we could have addressed, but it was never raised by the government.
So but won't it harm defendants if you tell them they can't agree to a sentence? Because then the government will be much less willing to make such agreements. If they know it can be unraveled.
I'm not sure that...
It doesn't benefit people not to be able to commit themselves in a contract, right?
I agree with that fully, Your Honor.
Yeah, well, then why doesn't it apply here?
Well, I'm not...
You don't want to say that if you sign contracts, well, you know, if there's some change in the atmosphere and the statutory framework or something, you can walk away from your contract even after you agreed no modifications. That wouldn't be good for people. They couldn't make contracts on advantageous terms if they couldn't commit themselves.
I agree.
Why is it any different here?
I fully agree with that, Your Honor, but in
why is it different here?
Well, in my particular view, a waiver and a plea agreement should simply be for the rights on direct appeal and not waiving 2255 or modification of
sentence.
Well,
it depends what the contract says, right?
Correct, and in this case...
Well, if you say no modifications.
I believe that we find ourselves in...
Are you saying he didn't understand that? I mean, that is a 2255 point. It's not for today. If you think he didn't understand, seek to modify meant 3582.
And I think that's the point, Your Honor, is that is not something that we had the opportunity to litigate at the district court because this case took a left turn and we went down a path of 3582C2.
Well, he had a lawyer, didn't he?
At the district court?
Yeah.
At his sentencing? Yes, he did, Your Honor.
When he made this deal?
Yes, he did, Your Honor.
Well, don't you have to go after the lawyer if you will?
If we got to the merits...
Maybe the lawyer didn't know what he was doing or didn't explain the significance of this to the defendant?
And these are all things that we may have been able to explore at the district court had the government responded to our request in our initial modification of his motion asking for the court to consider relief under 2255. But the only thing that got considered at the district court was 3582C2. And we acknowledge that might not be the best avenue for relief for Mr. Buckley. So I don't think in this case what the district court did can be upheld because we asked specifically for two forms of relief that were not touched.
I'm just going to interrupt and say at this point he's much better off if there's a sense that 2255 just fell off the table, because otherwise he would be stuck with a second or successive petition bar, wouldn't he? I mean, as the district court handled it, it's just a 3582C2 denial on a ground that we're pretty familiar with. This was an agreed sentence, and that's that. But if he really had an adjudicated 2255, he'd be in bad shape.
We would be, Your Honor, and that is why it was our position to try to look at, even though you know it was just an untested district court opinion in Illinois, and to ask this court if we had been denied by the district court on that, is can we get relief under C1B for exactly those reasons, because we don't want our clients to burn that 2255 if we can avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are no further questions, I reserve for rebuttal. Thank you.
Fine. Mr. Bunt.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel for the appellant, Jonathan Bunt for the United States government. Your Honors, there are two reasons why this court should affirm the decision of the district court in this case. First is I think this court has already recognized today, under 3582C2, this court's prior decisions are clear that in order for any relief to be available to a defendant who's been sentenced to a C1C, binding plea agreement, there has to be an express link to the guidelines in that agreement, and in this agreement there was none. So in that respect, the district court's decision was fully...
Well, does he have any avenue of relief left if he wants to argue that his lawyer didn't explain this to him?
If he wants to argue that his lawyer didn't explain this to him, he would have relief. That claim is always cognizable under 2255.
Pardon? I can hear you.
I apologize, Your Honor. That claim is cognizable under 2255 if he wanted to argue that.
That's still open to him?
That would be still open to him, but that's not what he argued in his petition to modify sentence, nor was that argument ever fleshed out by him when he sought to modify his original petition, which only mentioned subsection 3582C2.
It was a C2. I want to, again, pursue this. What if it had been C1B? Because that has come up in Mr. Buckley's briefs.
I don't see how the result would have been.
The government understood this as a C2 from the start.
Correct, Your Honor. I don't see how relief would be any different under C1B, because that section provides that the result would have to be expressly permitted by statute, and there is no statute that expressly permits it in this case. In fact, it's quite the contrary. Under a binding plea agreement, a C1C plea agreement, once the court accepts the plea agreement, that's it. The sentence is there. So the result wouldn't have been any different under 3582C1B. This court would still follow its analysis under United States versus Scott and United States versus Dixon. And as to 2255, that argument was never fleshed out by the district court. I believe the record conclusively demonstrates that Mr. Buckley did understand the terms to which he was pleading and that it was a binding plea agreement and that the guidelines were not the consideration for the sentence that was ultimately decided upon by him and the Assistant United States Attorney in this case. So if there are no further questions for those two reasons, I would ask that the court affirm the decision of the district court.
All right. Thank you very much. Apparently not. Anything further, Ms. Farner?
I just want to state briefly that when Mr. Buckley filed his pro se motion, he mentioned both the Fair Sentencing Act and 3582 C2, and it's difficult to hold a pro se defendant to that 3582 C2. We have a lot of people. I work in my office handling the crack cases, and we have a lot of confusion amongst both defendants and, honestly, counsel sometimes between what's a 3582 motion, what was Dorsey, and how this all relates. It sort of all fell under this crack umbrella. So to sort of pinhole him into C2 relief when he did then get a counsel appointed, I think.
Well, Mr. Bonds said C1 wouldn't help him either.
I believe based on that, and it could be that it didn't, but we just didn't get a response on that from the district court, nor did we get a response from the government. So, you know, we could bring that back to you at that point and ask you, what does the Seventh Circuit say about that? Because it is yet untested. And I would also just like to point out briefly
that... Well, I don't know. That's just a legal question. Why does it have to go back to the district court?
I believe it has to go back to the district court because we need a ruling on the relief that was actually requested in this case. And I do think that our claim...
Wait, I don't understand. If C1 is not available to him, what do you need a remand for?
Then we need a remand to look at 2255. And I do think that we stated a cognizable claim under 2255 when we laid it out the facts of this case, but without a response from the government.
Well, what is that? Is that against the lawyer or what?
I do think that he would have a cognizable claim because the Fair Sentencing Act
was... Is your 2255 claim of ineffective assistance?
I believe it would be based on ineffective assistance because in this case
what
the Fair Sentencing Act...
What do you believe it would be based on? What does it say?
This is the problem in this case. We weren't able to flesh out these other two, the reliefs that we actually wanted because we spent all of our time on C2, which is how the government...
Is he the one who raised 2255 or did counsel file an amended complaint?
We filed an amended petition saying relief was requested under C2, but judge, please consider this under C1B, which we believe if we want to keep this as...
Well, he said C1B would be no help to you at all.
And that is something
that's a legal question.
So maybe that legal question is before us.
Right.
Okay, then I do believe that relief would be proper under C1B, which could keep Mr. Buckley out of the 2255 realm because it would provide him an opportunity to make that argument to you today that Dorsey was the Supreme Court's analysis of the Fair Sentencing Act itself, and Dorsey was the Supreme Court's providing guidance saying, we find it indicated by the language of the statute that Congress intended for this to apply to this group of people.
Okay.
And that in that way, we could look at that as being an express allowance under the Fair Sentencing Act itself.
You didn't brief any of this.
Correct, Your Honor. And again, this is where I find the difficulty in this case, which was addressed in the reply, is that we've taken a turn in this case where the district court itself nor the government acknowledged the claims that we wanted looked at, so we're left fighting under C2, which we did the best that we could putting out there. There is a way under Freeman, if we analogize to Freeman, how he can get relief under C2 and how this court could send it back under C2 and tell the district court to look at it under that case. Additionally, under 2255, I think we could have a cognizable claim.
Okay, I think we have it, such as it is. So thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.